always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Just over the past week, Congressman Ken Buck out of Colorado filed a resolution calling for the invocation of the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution to remove President Joe Biden from power. Okay, the 25th Amendment was bantered around a little bit in the waning days of the Trump presidency, and now we have people talking about it with Joe Biden, although for very, very different reasons. So whether or not you think that should be the case, let's at least talk about what the 25th Amendment actually means, where it plays into the checks and balances, and why it's important to respect this part of the Constitution the same way we would respect a First Amendment or a Second Amendment or a Fourth Amendment or a Tenth Amendment. I'm Mike Ferguson. I am now joined by Mike O'Neill from our friends at Landmark Legal Foundation. And so, Mike, first I want to get into what the 25th Amendment is and what it's actually for, because there's obviously partisan debates over Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Now that a few weeks ago, the Hur report came out that characterized Joe Biden as somebody a jury might find elderly with memory problems, it's really kind of shined the light back on this entire topic when the 25th Amendment, obviously now a congressman's filed a resolution. So when we talk about the 25th Amendment, this is not just a shortcut to get rid of a president that you don't like. What's the purpose of the 25th Amendment?
Right. Well, the 25th Amendment was ratified fairly recently. I mean, when we're talking about constitutional amendments, we all seem to hearken back into the 1800s or 1700s. We don't really think of modern times ratification of constitutional amendments. Well, this is imperative to understand that the 25th Amendment was ratified in 1967, not really that long ago. And it was triggered, really, the debate about it in presidential succession arose with, of course, the unfortunate assassination with John F. Kennedy. And a discussion arose with what kind of presidential succession are we going to deal with in the event we lose our president or our president becomes incapacitated in some manner or some form. And so, as again, 5 years, or I guess it was 1963, so within 4 years after the assassination of President Kennedy, the 25th Amendment was ratified by Congress in 1967. And essentially what it deals with is presidential succession. Now, it has four sections. Section one is fairly straightforward. In the case of, and I'll just quote to you the text of it from section one, case of removal of the president from office or of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. Very, very straightforward. And then section two provides for the vacancy of the office of the vice president. Well, obviously, if the vice president is elevated to the office of the presidency, who's going to occupy the office of the vice president? Well, that will be decided upon under the 25th Amendment by a majority vote of both houses of Congress. Now, section three and section four are really dealing with incapacity of the president. Section three deals with temporary incapacity of the president. And this situation, section three, is invoked when the president goes under surgery, under anesthesia. And if the president, for example, is having a surgical procedure, or is having any kind of regular procedure, they will temporarily transfer power to the vice president to ensure that the continuity of operations is maintained. So, for example, it's very important that certain levels of communications communications between upper levels of the government are maintained, that presidential succession is clear, and that there's a clear decision maker in place. So therefore, if the president goes under anesthesia or is anticipating being incapacitated for a temporary period of time, he or she will transfer power under Section 3 to the vice president from a temporary standpoint. Now, of course, we're going to get to the issue Section 4, which is, of course, what we're talking about now. And this is when the president is deemed incapacitated or has the inability to exercise his or her duties under the office. And this is an involuntary situation. This is where the vice president, along with a majority of the cabinet, decides that the president is unable to complete his or her duties, is incapacitated, is essentially what you're saying is either through illness or through disability or through mental incapacity, and they decide that they are going to take away powers of the president, and the vice president is going to assume office there. This is section four of it, which is considerably longer section than the other preceding section, three sections.
So who can initiate a 25th Amendment removal of the president, and is that permanent, or can that be undone if they deem the president is back to the strength and the speed that they need to be?
Right. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment may be activated by the vice president, along with a majority vote of one of two groups. First, the principal officers of the executive departments. So that's essentially the cabinet. So if you're going to have the vice president with a majority vote of the entire cabinet, decide that the president is unable to assume to continue his or her duties, then they can invoke section four of the 25th Amendment. Or the other part is any other body enacted by Congress through bicameralism or presentment. Now, currently, there's no law on the books establishing another body. But for example, the ratifiers and the drafters of the 25th Amendment understood that the cabinet might be politically compromised, that they might have it in their political will to not be objectively analyze the capacity of the president to exercise his duties. So they said that Congress can pass a law through, again, your normal lawmaking process, which establishes another body which is vested with the power to determine whether they are going to invoke and activate the Section 4 of the 25th Amendment.
Okay, so Mike, there's a lot that's made out right. of the obvious memory problems and the obvious communication stumbles that we've seen the president. Is there a constitutional threshold for what meets the criteria to invoke the 25th Amendment, or is it left completely subjective? Because we've got people saying, look, Joe Biden is not keeping up. He's slipping mentally. Right. We need to at least consider this. And other people are saying, well, this is partisan on your part. So is there a threshold established anywhere?
No, there isn't. There isn't a threshold. And again, from what we understood is that the framers have rejected any definition of that term. Inability. So we're talking about what does inability mean? And there is no objective, there is no set threshold or set standard right now for what it is. And again, the framers and the ratifiers, it's interpreted that this is to maintain some degree of flexibility, because inability could vary in terms. Now, that presents obviously a problem right now in our current situation. What does inability mean? Well, we know that the presidency is an incredibly complicated, incredibly physically and mentally taxing endeavor. And so what does it mean when a president has the inability to exercise his duties, to conduct the office of the presidency? There is no fixed specific threshold to answer your question. Again, it's flexible, and it really is left to those bodies that we were talking about, the vice president and the cabinet, along with, or if Congress enacts a law, another body that is vested with that authority via the lawmaking process from Congress.
Okay, so it sounds like it's going to be very difficult to invoke and implement the 25th Amendment, but from a checks and balances perspective, that's probably what the founders had in mind, so that we're not getting into coup d'etat territory.
Exactly. And again, this is kind of a running theme with us, is whenever you have a duly elected official that in our republic, we should be loath to overturn the elections, the decisions of the people. And essentially, this is what you're doing. You're having a small group of people, essentially a majority of the cabinet, along with the vice president, deciding that they are going to remove the president. That is, what are we talking about here? 15 cabinet level offices along with the vice president. So you're talking nine individuals who could essentially make the decision to remove the president from office. Now, there is another provision in Section 4, and it bears discussion, is that if the president doesn't agree with that removal, he can challenge it. And if he challenges it, so for example, again, this is hypothetically speaking, say Kamala Harris and a majority of the cabinet decided that they wanted to invoke Section 4 of the 25th Amendment and remove the president from office, and they executed that, they did that, then President Biden could challenge that decision and actually, and if he challenges that decision, it goes to Congress to make a decision about whether he's going to come back into office, or whether the vice president is going to continue to resume the office. Now, that decision is left to a two-thirds decision of Congress has to decide to remove the president. So the president, not the vice president. So if Joe Biden wanted to challenge Kamala Harris's and a majority's decision to remove him from office, he could go to Congress, and then Congress would have to vote by a two-thirds majority to remove Joe Biden from office. So it's a right. Yeah, the very high thresholds we're talking about here.
Yeah, so that's that checks and balances right there. All right, Mike O'Neill, Landmark Legal Foundation. I think this has actually been really valuable for a lot of people as these debates unfold. Thanks so much, and where do we find what you do at Landmark?
Oh, it's my pleasure, Mike. I appreciate that. You can just go to landmarklegal.org, and we actually have a primer up on the 25th Amendment if anybody wants a little more resources. There's some great resources out there. Incidentally, there's really not a lot of, there's no case law on this. The framers mentioned that there isn't going to be, that the court should really kind of stay out of this as a non-justiciable political decision. But check out our website, landmarklegal.org, where we have a primer to discuss this more.
All right, great, Mike. Appreciate it once again.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, you'll notice that I didn't get into, is Joe Biden unfit for office right now, because that's the second layer of debate. I just wanted to talk to Mike about, okay, what does the 25th Amendment mean? How is it used? What did the founders intend? So knowing what we now know, that Mike gave us that primer there, what do you think? 314-912-1019, because what happens is the left is going to say any effort to invoke the 25th Amendment is just partisan. It's just Republicans trying to abuse the system. It's a coup d'etat or something along those lines. Just like, remember, there were some Democrats who were talking about the 25th Amendment when Donald Trump was in the last days of his presidency, saying he'd lost his mind. And so they were trying to call for the invocation of that. Now, cooler heads prevailed, obviously, in that situation. I don't think there's the political will on anybody in the left's and the left side of the aisle at all. They're not going to invoke that and take that embarrassment into the next election. But what do you think? Does the 25th Amendment, does that criteria apply to what we're seeing right now with Joe Biden? Because you know what? I think you could make a pretty strong argument for that.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.